welcome to the Better Spearfishing Podcast, where we talk all things spearfishing. If you want to improve your spearfishing and hear some wild stories, you've come to the right place.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Better Spearfishing Podcast. Thank you for coming and joining me. So the topic of this podcast is about staying healthy for diving. And I got the idea for this topic because of a recent trip that I've just done, diving with Mika and Antoine. And that was in the tropics. It was blue water diving, and it was a week-long trip. Absolutely fantastic. We made an episode on that. If you are interested in diving the tropics, blue water, big fish, go and listen to that episode. Mika and Antoine have so many great tips on, basically, they've already worked out exactly what you need to do for this. And they share that in the episode, what gear you need, you know, the sort of diving, everything you need to know is in there. But anyway, that trip, as a result of that, I suddenly thought, there's actually a lot to do with staying healthy for your diving. And so I'm sure many of us have experienced this. You want to go diving, but you have a cold, or you have hay fever and your sinuses are blocked, or you go diving and you can't equalize. You know, those are sort of common things, or you get an ear infection. And so, you know, you went diving, you got an ear infection, and then you can't go diving again. And it's really frustrating. I mean, it's unpleasant when that happens. Of course, you're sort of a little bit sick for a while, but it also means that you can't keep diving. Look, if you're at home, maybe this is not as big an issue for you, but if you go away on a trip somewhere, it's a real problem. You know, you've only got limited time, and you're there, say, on holiday, and you want to make the most of it. So this episode is covering everything you can do that will help you stay healthy so you can get the most out of your trip. So look, the very first thing I would just say on this is any sort of bacteria or microbes or anything like that, there are more of them. They bleed faster, they grow faster in warmer water. So whenever you are going to the tropics, this is extra important because you get ear infections, or, you know, nasal problems, all kinds of things happen faster when you go to the tropics. So if you are going to the tropics, this is super important. If you are diving in a cold water area, possibly less so. Okay, so let's just start on things such as ear infections. I think that's one of the main things that keep us out of the water. Now, over the last week with Mika and Antoine, I did start getting pain in my left ear. And I was fortunate. I went to the chemist. I got a bit of Aqua Ear, put that on, and it just dries your ear out. And that really helped. They still were a little bit delicate. So your ear infections, whenever you go, particularly warm tropical water, the more polluted it is, the more bad little bacteria and things grow in that water. So, for example, around Indonesia, look, it's a developing country. A lot of these islands, you know, there's, you know, maybe a questionable sewage treatment. And there's a lot of runoff and rubbish that gets washed into the ocean. And so there's a lot of bacteria in the ocean around the islands. And what I've always, you know, when I've done trips there and I haven't taken care of my ears, within 2 or 3 days, I have an ear infection if you're diving each day. So what you need, or what I've found works for that, before a dive, what I will do is so my ears are dry, I haven't even got in the water yet, I will actually take baby oil. And this is a trick that another friend showed me. And you basically just fill up your ears with baby oil. Now, it will then drain out. Of course, it's a liquid. It's a very sort of lightly viscous liquid. So it's not a thick oil. It's a really light oil. But what that does, so you'll fill up your ear on one side. The easiest is if you just lie down and do it, and then turn your head on the other side and do the other ear. Then when you stand up and carry on, you know, and you're getting ready to go out, that oil will drain out, but it will leave some sort of coating over your ear and your eardrum. And then when you go out, you have your dive, that seems to just help prevent anything really getting in and infecting your ear. Of course, this is not medical advice. So, you know, if you do this and you have a reaction, please don't call me and blame me. You know, you do all of these things at your own hazard or at your own initiative, but I'm just sharing what's worked for me. So anyway, I've done that. And then after your dive, as soon as you come out, many of these places you will need to buy bottled water. You know, the tap water is not suitable for drinking. But if you have bottled water, just some sort of very clean water, you wash your ears. You not just the outside, you actually have to do the same thing. Tilt your head on the side, pour water in a few times, and actually rinse out the inside of your ear properly. The best thing I find then is to actually dry your ears. Now, most doctors now are saying do not use earbuds in your ears because it pushes all the mess and the everything into your ear, which is not really what you want. And you can perforate your eardrum. So it's not recommended. I'm just sharing what I do. I always have a little packet of tissues, and I will tear one in half. I'll twist it up so it's like a little twirly thing, and I'll just very gently go in the main ear opening, and just I'm not pushing it in. I'm just gently turning it around and sort of with that side of my head facing down just to get out most of the water. And that's what I'll do. Every probably second or third dive, if you need to, if you are very susceptible to ear infection, what is also good is Aqua Air. So Aqua Air, or they call it swimmer's ear. These are products that you can buy over the counter at a chemist. It has a very light alcohol percentage. And what you do is you squirt that into your ear, and the alcohol evaporates off. And so it basically dries your ear. One of the common things people get if you're in the water a lot is you get swimmer's ear, which is, it's basically the ear is just irritated from all the water. So look, that is the medically correct way of doing this, which, you know, forget all the oil and drying your ear out with tissue, forget all of that. What doctors would say is, what they've told me is the correct way is after your dive, you know, wash your ears out and then put in, you know, I guess, let them dry by just turning your head and letting them just naturally drain, and then put in a few drops of Aqua Air in each ear. And that, apart from the evaporation drying out the ear, the alcohol content will also kill bacteria, and it'll just, you'll do better, put it that way. What I also find is as soon as I start getting any sort of ear pain, I would use that. So don't wait for it to get too bad before you use it. Okay, so ear infections are the big one. The other big thing that really stops people diving is equalization. So you get in the water, you want to dive, but you can't equalize, or it's very painful. Sometimes you'll have it'll feel like there's a block in your ear. Sometimes it will feel like it's sort of in the front of your face, your sort of nasal passages. Okay, equalization. One of the key things about that is if you get dehydrated, it is much more difficult to equalize. I forget the exact article, but there's something about your hydration level affects the mucus, affects, you know, a lot of things in your inner ear, the level of liquid. So, and those all affect equalization. So you need to stay hydrated. Now, key things for hydration, obviously anything that dehydrates you is bad. Alcohol is terrible.
And you know, I know everybody wants a nice cold beer after their dive, or you're on a tropical beach and you have a few beers in the evening. Enjoy them, but they are terrible for your diving. What I do is I just have alcohol-free beer, and I really enjoy that. And you know, you get the taste, you get the enjoyment, but you know, there's nothing to dehydrate you. Anything that's a diuretic, so coffee, unfortunately, is bad. But look, that's one thing that I can't go without. So I do have coffee before I dive. And I seem fine with it, but most flea divers would, you know, they'd recoil in horror if they heard that. They wouldn't do coffee or tea or anything that would dehydrate you. Okay, the other thing, if say you've got a slight cold, or if you suffer from hay fever, there's a lot of pollen or anything, even if there's a lot of pollution. So if you've gone through a big city, you can build up a lot of mucus. It's, I don't know, our body seems to just react to it in the same sort of way as pollen. You know, there's all the smog and soot and smoke and all that. Your nasal sort of cavities can get blocked up. The very best way I've found to unblock them and clean them is with a saline solution. And it's totally natural. There's no, you know, there's nothing unnatural about it. It's just, I put about half a teaspoon of just normal salt, normal, you know, iodized salt in a glass. So standard sort of size tall glass. And then you put in very slightly warm water. It's basically, if you put your finger in, it's not cold, but it's not warm. It's just lukewarm. It's body temperature. And you stir that up, taste it. It should be the same saltiness as your tears. So if you've cried, and you know, I'm sure we all know how salty our own tears are, roughly. That's about the saltiness you want. And what you're going to do, you can just, I mean, I just use the glass. Some people fill up they actually use a water bottle. So one of the pump water bottles that has like a little spout at the end, and you can squeeze it. That some people like that. I just find a glass is fine. You lean over the sink. You put the glass against one nostril, and you block the other nostril with your finger. You're bending over, and now you tilt the glass and you gently start sucking that water up into your nose. And you suck it up one side, then you block that side, and you just gently let it either dribble out, or I actually blow it out very gently. There's nothing, don't strain this. You can damage something. What all that's doing, all that saline solution goes up it fills up your sinus cavities. While you're doing that, you can actually blow out a lot of the snot and look, sometimes it's quite horrific what comes out. But you do that one side, the other side. I'll probably do two or three on one side and then two or three on the other side. And I just keep going until the glass is empty. Okay, you'll get rid of a lot of stuff then. But what you will then find is, you know, maybe an hour later or 2 hours later, you'll bend over to do something or to pick something up, and suddenly all this water will come rushing out of your nose. So you basically fill up your sinus cavities, and the whole time that is working to break down mucus. So it's a good thing to do in the morning before you go diving, you know, an hour or two before you go, or longer. You can even just do this regularly. They recommend not every day, but you can do this, you know, once a week or something like that. And it just keeps all your sinuses clear. It is a yoga technique as well. They call it, and you can buy special little things to do this. It's like a little watering can, and it's called a neti pot. Basically, the little watering can, the one spout goes up one nostril, and you basically do exactly what I've described. But it's just a tool you can use for that. Okay, so that's really good. Some people take the nasal sprays, and look, that's also good if you've got some sort of infection. I think some of those are over the counter medication, but you can get a saline nasal spray and it sort of mists it up. In your nose, you can use that if you want to buy something from a chemist. Okay. So we've talked about sinuses. That's an important one. Let's just talk just fitness and stretching. Okay, I've done entire topics on or entire podcasts here on training for spearfishing. So you know, by all means, go and listen to those. But just before you're diving, if you can just stretch, that will it'll really help you out. It's just going to make it a lot easier for you. Obviously, if you can keep fit, even just going for the jog, you know, twice a week, that's absolutely fine. And that's enough. You know, I would say probably two jogs a week would be a bare minimum just to keep you, you know, a base level of fitness. If you're not doing anything else, two or three jogs is perfect. Just some stretches. I just stand there with my feet apart and stretch side to side, then up and down. That just sort of opens your chest. Stretch out your legs, stretch your arms side to side. That really helps a lot. Okay, some of the other things that people have really complained about, if you're going out on a boat or even if you're just doing a shore dive, a lot of people do get seasick. And so, look, I used to probably 20 years ago, and I just sort of persevered through it and had many unpleasant days on the boat. But eventually you just become accustomed to it. And I haven't been seasick for years now. So it will get better over time, but that doesn't help you when you get seasick. So I know there are medications that you can take. I think one of them is Fisherman Friends. I know that I've been for like nausea or motion sickness. Just if you go to the chemist and ask, they can give you ginger. It's like a ginger or ginseng tablet. I think ginseng, that seemed to help. But a lot of there are over-the-counter medications you can get for this. What I've heard people say is take it, a while before you're going out, so it has time to work. Because obviously, if you then get sick and throw it up, it's not going to have any effect. It has to have time to be digested and absorbed. Okay, so seasickness, travel sickness. Okay, other things that really affect you if you're on a diving trip is sunburn, which I think sometimes we forget about that. If you go to the tropics, often you, or like friends of mine, some people will just dive in board shorts. And I've never liked that because of the risk of sunburn, firstly. And secondly, getting stung by things in the water. So I would always suggest that whenever you go diving, you want your whole body covered for protection from, you know, first the sun, then things that can sting you. Even if the water's nice and warm, I would recommend you get a Lycra wetsuit, which it's just basically a skin-tight material that will protect your skin from sunburn and stinging things, but there's no, it doesn't add any warmth. So there's that. On your face or any exposed parts, you definitely want to use some sort of sun cream. The best for diving are zinc-based sun creams because they don't run. So they generally quite a thick white paste. You can get some that will go invisible. I prefer those. You rub that in and it certainly seems to work. It doesn't wash off fairly easily. And most importantly, it's not oily. So it doesn't run. It doesn't seem to, you know, if you put it on your face and then it runs and gets in your eyes, that's not very pleasant, which, normal water-based sun cream can do. Obviously, you want something that's going to be okay in water. And remember, if you're out for a very long day, you may need to reapply it. Last thing, obviously, put it on at the beginning of the day. Even though you don't feel like you need it, it's not hot yet, put it on then, because once you start getting sunburned, it's too late at that point. One lesson I learned painfully many years ago, I had tears in my wetsuit pants and I was diving all day and that was all fine. I was covered up, but where the tears were, my legs and basically my bum was exposed to the sun, and I got very badly burnt on my bum because of that. So, you know, just be aware of things like that. If you have tears in your wetsuit, you really want to stitch that up. Even if it doesn't stop the water, it's for the sunburn. Okay, next thing, cuts and wounds. So obviously you may get cuts, even if you're filleting fish. Sometimes you get cuts on your hand. If you are in a tropical environment, there's often sharp coral or sharp rocks like volcanic rock or something, you can get cut. So in the tropics, I have experienced something certainly when I was in Mozambique, where if you get a cut, it just doesn't heal. It just seems to stay open and not heal for ages. It's, not very pleasant. And in other places, I've had it where, you know, you get a cut, you go into the water, and the next day you're practically healed. It seems like the ocean sort of heals it in some places. So I don't know. Some places seems to help, some places it seems to be against you. I guess, you know, wherever you're going, you'll figure that out. But the key is to try and stop getting cut. The first place is on your feet. So if you are going anywhere with sharp rocks, you need a set of good shoes to walk over those rocks. If you're doing shore dives, get yourself some reef shoes. They're not expensive. They are absolutely brilliant. And you can trash them on bad rocks and, then just throw them away at the end of the trip. Or you can just put them in your locker and they're there for next time. So set of, what do they call them? Reef shoes. They're just sort of a really thick rubberized sole, but they're quite soft and they're just a neoprene slipper really with a thick rubber sole. So you can do reef shoes. You do want something, like gentian violet or antibacterial cream or some sort of antiseptic cream. Look, you probably don't need, unless you're going very remotely, you don't need to buy this beforehand. If you're going remote, take some of this along with your aqua ear and, you know, saline solution and something for, nasal stuff. Nasal stuff and congestion. I find that taking antihistamine tablets, if I'm in a place where there's a lot of hay fever, a lot of pollen, or it's a change of season, antihistamines really help to sort of clear up congestion. Again, you can get them over the counter at a chemist, so in most places, so that's good. Last thing, maybe not the last, but one thing I've always found good to take if you're going traveling is actually a razor and just a little bit of shaving cream. Just because if you're going on a big trip, if you have a mustache or a beard, you can find that obviously as it grows, if you're away for a few days and you haven't shaved, that can really affect how your mask will seal and fit against your face. And it's really frustrating diving down and there's slowly water seeping into your mask. So what I do is I just shave basically my top lip. So that's the only bit that you actually should need to shave for your mask to seal. You know, the rest is on your face and we don't sort of, I guess most of us don't have facial hair where the mask is sitting, but on our top lip we do. I'm obviously talking to the men here. All I do is I shave the top half of my top lip. So it's a sort of George Orwell kind of moustache. And that works really well. And it takes, you know, all of 30 seconds before I go out. Just a little bit of shaving cream on the top lip, shave that off, and I'm good to go. So there's that. Food. Look, I've discussed nutrition on separate podcasts, but what I would say here is before diving, you don't want to eat anything that is difficult to digest or heavy. You want very light, very minor amounts of food. So oats, porridges are good, Not too much blade, just plain blade is okay. Anything like that, that's simple, a simple carbohydrate, or it's a complex carbohydrate, but it's nothing too fancy. That's what you want. You really don't want to go and eat things like bacon and eggs, or, you know, a burger or a pie. Any of that sort of stuff is so oily and greasy. It takes a lot of energy from your body to digest, and it's not going to digest quickly. So you're going to be diving with this heavy thing in your stomach. You're using energy from other parts of, you know, for your diving, and your body's trying to conserve energy. And so often you will get indigestion because basically your body tries to limit what your stomach's doing, and you've got all this big greasy food there. Or it's putting all the energy to digesting that, and you don't have that energy for your diving. So, you know, by all means, after your dive, go wild, go and have that big meal. But beforehand, you really want to not do that. Okay, I think that's probably about everything. The one of the key things, as I already mentioned, was staying hydrated. Now, that's not just on the day, that's even the day before, the days leading up to your dive. You want to stay hydrated. So you drink plenty of water, plenty of fluids, avoid alcohol, avoid anything, you know, too much of anything that's going to dehydrate you. Obviously, diving on a hangover, your diving is going to be a fraction of what it should be, and it's not very fun. So really think very hard before you do that. And then on the day, just in terms of staying hydrated, you need to drink more than you think you do, because especially you're probably going to be peeing when you're in the water under pressure. You know, we tend to urinate more. So you do need to drink a lot more fluid than you think you do. Also in cold water, you sort of think you don't need to. And if you start getting a headache, it's too late. You need to really chug down hydrolyte at that point. But you should keep drinking it, you know, throughout the day. I like using hydrolyte solution. So it's a liquid that you can, or they tablets and powders that you can buy at a chemist or a supermarket, and it's proper hydration salts. I know you can buy sports drinks. Some people love them. I'm not a fan because you never know all the other things added into that, and they may have caffeine, they may have stimulants, things that are going to impair your diving. So not a fan of those. I guess they're better than nothing. But hydrolyte solution's great, and just good old water. And if it's really cold, it's very nice to hydrate to something like ginger tea or a hot drink. You know, take a thermos of some sort of hot drink or very watery soup. The key is it's got to be watery, have salts in it, and yeah, easy to digest and no caffeines. So look, I think that's everything for now, and I'll leave it there. Take care, everybody, and yeah, dive safe, and I'll speak to you again soon. Okay, bye.